Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house once again to receive from him all that we need and to give glory to his name for all that he has done for us. So as we are gathered in his house this morning, let us begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you so much that you have made it possible for us to be in your presence, Lord, that by the righteousness that you have given us through the death and resurrection of your Son, Lord, that we can stand righteous in your presence, Lord, even though we don't deserve it, that we have his righteousness and that you, in your justice, Lord, count that as righteousness. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow us in our faith. Lord, help us to live out what Jesus has done in us. I pray that you would be with us this morning. Send your spirit to work in our hearts and minds, Lord, that we may hear and understand and remember the word that is taught today. Thank you, Lord, for all these things in your holy name. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sin. It says in John, 1 John, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let us now return praise and thanksgiving to the God who has done such great things for us.
Triumphs of his grace. Good morning. Each month we feature a hymn. This month our hymn is Just As I Am. Just As I Am is a description of humanity's condition, made more obvious by the pandemic. In a global heartbeat, our fragility and insufficiency has been dragged out from behind our busyness and displayed on the world stage. Yet this is a very spiritual condition, that we are without one plea that makes us ready to fall at Jesus' feet, powerless. The all-sufficiency of Jesus stands in stark contrast to our fallen nature's lack of everything everlasting. Let's not waste this moment that bears our soul. Instead, let's turn to Jesus to have it renewed. Let's turn to Jesus just as we are and anticipate becoming who he has in mind. Not only will Jesus accept just as we are, he'll never let us go, ever remembering who you are and who to whom you belong.
I come broken. Good morning. My name is Kevin Shegg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison, as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed be kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings, for it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus Christ, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Scripture reading for this Sunday is Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. One Sabbath when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. "When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, 'Give this person your seat.' Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when our host comes, he will say to you, 'Friend, move up to a better place.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted." Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and then you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid. at the resurrection of the righteous. This is God's word. Children, it is now time for the children's message. So if you guys would come forward at this time, and if you brought your backpacks, don't forget to bring them forward. Here you come. Outstanding. All right. So, have you guys started school yet?
I did.
Who started school already? Who's still waiting to start school? Okay, some people are both. That's okay. All right. Outstanding. All right. Here's the thing, though, is that when we go to school, are we going to be taught all kinds of really good things? Are you going to be taught how to read? Yeah? Are you going to be taught how to count? Yeah, and later on you're going to get taught how to add, right? Add numbers up and stuff. You're going to be taught all kinds of stuff. You're going to be taught about the world, and you're going to be taught about how things work. You're going to be taught about how earthquakes work and how storms work and how rain works. You're going to learn a whole bunch of stuff in school, aren't we? Now, the question is, what are we going to do with all that stuff, right?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, that's what I'm here for, is I got to teach you this stuff, right? I guess that's kind of my job. I'll do that then. All right, so here's the thing. What we do with all that stuff is going to depend upon what our job is. And what is our job in the world today? Well, I've got a little thing for you here. Who can read? Anybody here read? Yeah? What does that say? It says, I am a child of God. Now, how did that happen? How did you become a child of God?
Did he
make us a child of God? When did he do that?
I don't know.
You don't know. You probably don't remember. Because it was probably when you were a little tiny baby. And your parents brought you to church, and they brought you up to the front, and we came to something like that up there, right? That baptismal font. And at the baptismal font, the pastor probably took you, and he said he did something really strange. He took water, and he poured it on your head, and he said, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the
Holy Spirit.
And what happened when the pastor did that? Did God do something? Yeah, what did God do? He made you into his child. So now at that point, you're not just any kid, you're a child of God. And that means that that's going to change everything about our life, right? Because now we're not just going to school as just any kid, we're going to school as a child of God. And does that change like a lot of the things that we do? Like, if somebody's mean to us, do we be mean back? Mm-hmm. Why? Because we are a child of
God.
And does God want us to be mean to other people?
No.
No. And if you see somebody who's lonely, do we want to go and help them not be lonely?
Yes.
Why? Because we're a child of
God.
Very good. And how about this? This is really important. How about you ever read the book Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day? Anybody read that book? Oh, man. It's a great book. You ought to read it sometime. Anyway, but the thing is The Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day was a guy, it was all about a kid who was just, everything went wrong. Everything. He was just having a horrible day. Have you ever had a really horrible day? And everything seemed to go wrong? Well, here's the question. Do you think it matters on the terrible, horrible day that you are a child of
God?
You think that's important?
Yeah.
Why? Because who's watching out for you? God.
God.
Who loves you? Who is always with you?
God.
Does that matter?
Yeah.
Who gives you strength on those terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days? God does, exactly. So is it important for us to remember this all the time?
Yeah.
So what I want to do is I want to give each and every one of you one of these. And every time you look at it, I want you to remember that I am a child of
God.
And that means that he is with me, he loves me, and I belong to him. And does he treasure me? Does he treasure you?
Yes.
Does he love all his children?
Yes.
He sure does. Should we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for loving all of these young people. I pray that you'd continue to be with them as they go to school, Lord. Help them, Lord, to learn. Help them to grow, Lord. And I pray that you would Remind them constantly, Lord, that they are your children, that they are precious in your sight, that there is nothing more valuable than them, and that that you will never leave them alone. Thank you, Lord, for loving them so much. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, outstanding. Well, very good. So here we go. I think we need to hand these out. All right. Very good. Can you help me? That would be amazing. I will grab a handful.
Okay, I'll go this way.
I'll go this way. Oops, could you grab one of those? I'm inadvertently handing out more than I thought I would. There you go. All right. You guys get one yet? You want blue? I can handle that. All right, what else? You want what?
Blue?
Why is blue so popular all of a sudden? All right, I think we're in good shape. Very good, guys. You guys can go back to your seat at this point then. Just clip those on your backpacks, and then that way you'll have them all year to remember you that you are a child of? Very good, outstanding. You don't have a backpack? Well, then, here. I got a solution for this. There you go. You're taken care of now. All right, with that then, folks, little worship is going to be next, so anybody 4-year-old through fourth grade can meet at the cross in the center aisle. There's the cross. And they'll meet at the cross, and they'll get a lesson just for you and the rest of us. We'll stay in here, and we will dig into God's word right now and right here. Outstanding. And if anybody didn't come up and wants one of these after the service, we have a few spares. And parents, if you need a backpack blessing for your briefcase, we can cover that. All right. With that then, let us begin. Scripture verse for today. It's an interesting one, isn't it? I have basically three stories that are tagged together. And all of them are a little countercultural. It's a little difficult to know exactly how to deal with these because, you know, it talks about, you know, first of all, there's this whole healing on the Sabbath thing, right? Because there's this guy that needed healing, and Jesus was basically saying, hey, look, it's this guy is important enough to heal even on the Sabbath. And then he turns to the Pharisees, and they said, well, if you're child or ox, which is kind of an interesting thing, child, ox, but basically the same idea, were to fall into a well. And again, how do you get an ox in a well? I'm not sure how that works either. But nevertheless, if you have a child or an ox and they fall into a well, wouldn't you immediately pull the ox out or the child out of the well, not wait until the Sabbath is over to do so? Because if you wait until the Sabbath is over to do so, very likely they will no longer be alive. And so the idea is, if it's something valuable to you, would you not do it right away? But then you're not wanting me to heal this person, which basically is saying you're not valuing this person very much because now that's not worth doing on the Sabbath. Which, you know, that makes sense that we should value people as much as we would value an ox. And just because if a person doesn't belong to me doesn't make them any less valuable. And so I would definitely go out of my way to help them even on the Sabbath. Okay, that kind of makes sense. But here's the thing, is that what he's doing is he's comparing, is it for you more important for you to take care of your own business, your own stuff, your own family, or the people out there? And this is a sticky thing if you really stop and think about it. It's not as easy to answer as you want. I mean, as long as you have excess, as long as you have plenty, you can take care of everybody and everything is fine, right? But the question comes in, well, what if you don't? What is your first obligation? I mean, we're taught to be selfless. We're taught to give. We're taught to be generous. But when does generosity, when is it that we would think first of our own family? Think of, you know, our own business, and secondly, of the people outside. Is there a point where that happens? And so, which is more important, to be selfish or to be selfless? Huh. All right. Well, the next thing we got is we go into the next part of the, and it's about the picking places of honor when you walk into a feast, right? There's a big party, and think about a wedding, and there's no assigned seats, and everybody wants the seats closest to the table, you know, the head table, right? And so everybody heads that way, and all of a sudden, then the parents of the bride come in, and they're like, "Nah, we ain't sitting in the back. We're paying for all this," you know, and they bump somebody down because they're like, "Uh-uh." And now the only seats that are left are the ones on the far side of the room. And the idea is this: don't promote yourself. Let other people promote you, right? So what you need to do is when you are working in business and stuff, don't promote yourself. Don't talk about your don't advocate for yourself. Just sit back passively and wait for other people to move you up. Is that how we do it? Is that a good idea? Not all the time, right? Well, now what is Jesus getting at here then? I mean, when do we promote ourselves? When do we not promote ourselves? What are we supposed to do with this? Because it's a little thorny. It doesn't always fall one way or the other. So what is Jesus getting at? All right, so let's do this last one. When you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters or relatives or your rich neighbors. Don't invite the rich neighbors. Anyway, if you do, they may invite you back so that you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. And although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection. All right, so here's the lesson here. Don't be nice to rich people. Works out. I'm not rich. Be nice to me. No, I'm kidding. The thing is this. I mean, how do you handle that? I mean, here's the thing. The idea is that if you are nice to somebody, if you welcome them in, if you invite them over, if you treat them well, and then they in turn treat you well in return, then that means that you've already been repaid for your kindness, and you basically served yourself, you know? But if you invite over the poor and the neglected and the people who can't give back, people who have nothing to offer in return, that's what God is looking for. So does that mean we can't be nice to rich people? Does that mean we don't want to invite them around over and ever again? That if you make over, I don't know, what's rich? I don't know what that is. But it's whatever number you pick in your brain, you no longer can do anything nice for them because they might do something nice for you then, and that would be horrible. Right? Is that what God said? Well, no, but is there something in this that's true? Is it if we are, as a dear friend of mine likes to say, enlightened self-interest? In other words, I'll be nice to you with the intention of you being nice to me in return, right? So we can see that there's something right, there's something wrong. How on earth do we navigate this? How do we know what's right, what's wrong, when we're right, when we're wrong, when we're doing this? How do we know? And the real rub that we have is this. How do we take care of ourselves and our neighbors? You understand? Because here's the thing is that, you know, if we don't take care of ourselves, Jesus actually said this in, Ephesians 4. It says, work hard, that those who steal should work hard with their hands for a purpose so that they will have something to share with others in need. You understand how this goes? So in other words, instead of thinking for themselves and taking for themselves, that they would work hard with their hands for the purpose of having something to share with others in need. And the idea is, well, what's the purpose of them making this money? Are they supposed to give this, are they supposed to, the first dollar they make, do they give it away? Or do they take care of themselves so that they will be able to take care of others? Because here's the thing. I mean, seriously, if you're working hard with your hands and don't eat because you don't want to spend any money on yourself, how long are you going to work with your hands? I mean, if you don't take care of yourself and don't shower in the morning because, after all, you want to keep the water bill down, and you go to work, how long are they going to welcome you at work? Yeah, I mean, there's a limiting factor here where you're like going, there's a certain amount of self-care we need to do so that we are able to help others. I mean, investing in education, does that make any sense at all? Education's horribly expensive, even if the government's trying to pay it off. It's still horribly expensive. You know, and it's just one of these things where it's like, what are you going to do? How do you know? When is it worth investing in yourself? Shouldn't you just give that money to the people who are poor? Except that as you're educated, your gifts and abilities are augmented and supplemented, and you grow in them so that you are able to more effectively serve others, right? And so is that worth doing? And the question is, well, when do you work for yourself and when do you work for others? And how do you know the difference? And it's a real stew for us as long as we are the ones making the decision, right? But here's what I want you to do. Right now I've set up what they call a false dichotomy. Aren't those fun? Where I say you either live for yourself, you know, or you live for others. And the answer is neither. Do you know who you live for? You live for God. And does God have something to say about all these different situations? Does he have truth in his scripture, wisdom in his scripture? Does he tell you about when it, you know, what you're supposed to be doing for yourself and what you're supposed to be doing for others and when you should do it and when you should not and all these kinds of things? Does he tell us this stuff? And how in the world are we supposed to know? How are we supposed to weed through all these situations in life? We're supposed to know his word. We're supposed to be digging into that thing. We're supposed to be knowing it. We're supposed to be in the books of wisdom, learning about when it is that parents would care for their children and be generous with their children and when parents need to draw back and let the children fall down if they need to, you know? We need to learn about what it means to be loving. Being loving doesn't mean that you always pay for everything or give everything or rescue in all circumstances. That's not necessarily loving, because in doing so, we can actually enable people to stay sick and be in a situation where they never grow up because they never feel the pain. You know, I mean, those places where in the Bible where it says don't work, don't eat. Is there a truth in that? Yeah. And so, but when? How? How does it work out? And the question and the answer is this. We follow God. We follow him. We look to him for wisdom. We look to him for everything in our life. You know, I mean, the thing is when we were saved, we were brought into the family of God. He recreated us. He made us into something we weren't before. We talked about that conversion, that unbelievable miracle that God works in us through his spirit, through the word, and through the gospel. And when we are saved, we are now transformed from somebody who only can really think about themselves, because Before we're following God, who's calling all the shots? Yeah, us. And so who's actually in charge? Well, us. So who's God in our life? Well, us. And we're transformed into somebody who wants to seek after God and follow him. And so when that happens, all of a sudden, now we are left with the question, right? I want to follow Christ. I want to follow him. I want to bring glory to him in my life and in my decisions and in my words and in my actions, in my relationships, in all, everything that makes me me. I want to bring glory to God. But I'm left with the question, how? What is it that makes God glorified? What is it that I can do to contribute to his work? What is it that I can do that will make him smile? What is it that I would do that would make him unhappy? How do I know one from the other? And we are driven immediately to scripture, because God's law is unbelievable. And you know, the thing is that the only way we're gonna be prepared to do this is if we are in his word all the time. All the time. And today, actually, in Bible study, we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be talking about what it means to be in daily devotion, what it means to be in God's Word daily. And we're going to go back and we're actually going to look at Psalm 119 and dig through it, the longest chapter in the Bible. I love starting with something big. It'll be great. We'll be here a whole hour, maybe two. No, I'm kidding. But the thing is that we're going to look at what it is that God wants to give us through his word and the reason that we should be in it all the time and how David says, I love your word. I meditate on it day and night. And that as we get into his word and realize what is in it, the guidance, the leader, world vision, the world view, the way we see the world, the way we see sin, the way we see our other people, the way we love, the way we understand love better, all of that comes from his word, and it is revolutionary, it is freeing, and it is wonderful, and we hunger for it. And that we realize that if we don't stay in his word, it leaks out and we forget, the world distracts us and we get hung up on all the silly things that God doesn't want us thinking about. And that ends up taking the place of all the important things that God wants us to be thinking about. And that it's only through this constant contact with his word that we will understand and that we will be able to live the life that brings glory to the God who rescued us. And so here's the thing. Can I answer all those questions in one sermon? Probably not. I mean, when is it right that you would care for yourself first? And when is it right that you would care for another person first? Well, one thing I'll tell you is this, is that if your neighbor needs their electric bill paid and it's between you buying groceries and their electric bill, guess what you should do first? You should probably feed your family, right? Are there other people who can help your neighbor? Yeah, we have a whole gathering of Christians here. People who are all together in this that can work together to help people in need. What we don't want is we don't want one person carrying too much of the burden. Because are you God? Is it God's job to take care of all people? Yeah. Do we want to be his hands and feet? But are we God? Can we do something in God's kingdom? Can we do everything? So don't overextend yourself to the point that you become a casualty. You understand? Don't overextend yourself so far that you are the one that's going to be in need and that somebody's going to have to come to your rescue, because that's not what God wants. You understand how this works? And so you get into God's word, you dig and you find and you pull it apart and you learn it. You learn what his promises are and you learn what his promises aren't. You know, the idea that God, since you're God's child, there are pastors out there who will say, since you are God's child, your divine royalty, God wants to give you riches. He wants to make you wealthy and comfortable on this earth. Is that a promise that he is preaching from God? Well, he's preaching it as if it's from God. But is it from God? No, God tells us something completely different. He says, the world's going to be rough. If it was hard on me, it's going to be hard on you, right? I mean, Jesus didn't live in riches and wealth. He lived as a poor person who walked around and went to other people's houses to eat. We need to know what God's promises truly are so that we're not misled. My friends, God's word is awesome. It truly is. So hang around for Bible class. We'll talk some more about that. But let me encourage you, if you're going to be there or not, daily in his word. Read from the Gospels, the story of Christ. Read from the epistles, explanation of theology and understanding that the disciples were giving to the churches, and read the Old Testament, especially like Psalms and Proverbs, where God is pouring out his wisdom and how he, you know, what works in the world. Read, because in that there is amazing power. In that, the Holy Spirit works. He helps us to accumulate knowledge of God, understanding of the world, and strengthens us in our faith so that we are able to serve him. So let's pray, my friends, this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much. We thank you, Lord, that you have rescued us, that you have made us your children, that you have brought us into your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us this incredible word, this divine revelation from you, Lord, that we are able to hold in our hands and read in our own language. Lord, I pray that you would help us to faithfully read it, know it, to know all that you say, so that we can be led by you, so that we can be comforted by you, so that we can be confident in your truth. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time for us to continue our worship service. And as we continue our worship, we are going to be collecting the offering. And the offering is exactly that. It is an act of worship. It is an act of trust in our God that he will be the one to provide for us, to save us, to give us everything that we need, and that that our God is bigger than money, is bigger than our job, bigger than all those things, all the ways that God provides for us, that he is the one that we trust, that we believe in. And so as we collect the offering, I ask that you guys would also record your attendance in the folders that you'll find in the pews. And let us sing some praises of thanks to our God.
Try and you'll soon come.
My friends, let us stand as we confess our faith using the words of the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. My friends, let us pray to our Father in heaven. And as we do so today, we want to keep Sandra Canada in our prayers as she is having surgery on Wednesday, that God would bless her surgery and let that go very well, and also that he would help her with the pain that she's experiencing until then. And we also want to be praying for Jody Kavanaugh, who is continuing to recover as well. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for making us your children, for giving us an identity, Lord, that cannot be taken away, for giving us an eternity, Lord, that we can be certain of, Lord, that we know that at the end of all of this life that we will be with you forever. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us while we are still here in this world, that as you have promised to do, that you would give us strength, that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us guidance, Lord, and I pray that you would help us to remember to use your word, to open your scriptures, to learn it, to meditate upon it, Lord, to think about it often so that we may understand you, Lord, so that we may know your promises. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with Sandra, Lord, and Jody, as they just continue to be with them, Lord, as they go through their health issues. I pray that you would help Sandra to recover quickly, Lord, and that she would be in far less pain after her surgery. I pray that you would be with Jody, Lord, to just bring her back to health, Lord, so that she can return to return to us, Lord, and to return to her life and all the things that she needs that you have given her to do. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless all the workers in your church, Lord, those of us who lead in the congregation, Lord, and those who we have leading and teaching children. Pray that you'd be with all of those children, that you would just continue to send your spirit to work in their hearts, Lord, to engender in them a deep and rich faith, Lord, so that they can have a lifelong relationship with you. And I pray that they would also be that we would also be able to support and love the families, Lord, that they also would be drawn closer to you, Lord, every day. Thank you, Jesus, for your great mercy, for working through us and giving us every opportunity, Lord, to serve you and to be your hands and feet in this world as we are witnesses of your gospel. All this, Lord, we bring to you, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Praise Him, He is exalted for
You know, it's an amazing thing that just happened. We received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how that works, I mean, who can explain it, right? But Jesus did a lot of things that nobody could explain. I mean, the guy that was like lame on the side of the road, and Jesus walked up and said, "Get up and walk," and he got up and walked, and he didn't know how that worked either, but did he benefit from it? And so that's what we're here for, is that we're here to benefit from the miracle. Jesus did this thing, and he promises that through this thing, our faith is strengthened, that our sins are forgiven, and that we're given the strength to walk with him. And so because of this, let us depart in peace in his joy and receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. What a great God we serve. Let's see here. Things coming up, looking forward to September 11th. We have the first through third grade Bible presentations. And so if you have one of those kids and don't know what's going on with that, please talk to Lauren about it and we'll get you squared away on that day. The parents do choose a Bible verse for the child. And so we want to make sure everybody's prepared. Drive-in movie night is September 23rd, reserve your spot online so that we don't run out of spaces. And communion training for the incoming 6th graders or 7th and 8th graders who have not yet had communion training, that's going to be on October 9th, and so please register for that as well. With that, God's blessings on your week. If anybody would like individual prayer after the service, we will have an elder in the prayer chapel. The rest of you, I will see you in the back.